There are so few choices in life. I know that that sounds like it's not true. It couldn't be true. I mean, after all, if I ever get to be 18, buddy, I'm going to do it my way. If I ever get out of this house, if I ever get my own car, if I ever move into my own apartment, when I get to college, oh yeah, when I'm grown up, I'm going to do it my way. I'm so sorry, but I've got to tell you the truth tonight. There's still very few choices, really, in life. So many things are determined for us by situations over which we have no control. We did not choose our parents. Did you know that? And if that's discouraging, just think about it. They got stuck with you. We didn't even choose the state we were born in, the house we lived in. It hadn't been very long. Many of you weren't even choosing the clothes that you wore. So many things we have no control over. The fact of the matter is, the truth of the whole thing is very simple. We didn't even ask to be born. We did not select the time in which we came into this world. We did not pick this hour and this era. We simply arrived, and folks, here we are. We are in this life now, and we did not choose it. We did not select it. You didn't pick your hair color, your eye color, your physique. You can't change the shape of your nose or the length of your fingers. That's just the way you came here, life. And there's very little you can do about any of it. But hear this, preacher. There is a few decisions that you can still make. You can sit in the corner of life and suck your thumb and feel sorry for yourself and blame everybody around you for your disadvantages and your problems. You can say it's your parents' fault, your preacher's fault, society's fault. I don't get the breaks. Everybody else has it first. You can do that if you want, or you can stand up and square your shoulders and lift your head and say, I am a child of God. I am in this life and I am here to win. No, we did not select it, but here we are. We are in the arena, folks. There is a blooded sword in our hand. The sand beneath our feet is stained with combatant's blood. This is our day. This is our time. We have come to the kingdom. And I, for one, am ready to quit talking about what we're going to do, what we're going to accomplish when we grow up, when we get prayed through, when we sell out to God. I'm ready to draw my sword and wade into the battle and make a difference in my world right now. Victory or defeat is in the hands of each of us. We choose the directions of our lives. I have one life to live, just one here. I intend to make it count. I know there are struggles, but I do not shrink from them. I know there are difficulties, but I am not intimidated by them. If you're afraid of cost and sacrifice and struggle, if you cannot stand the sight of blood, I feel sorry for you. You were born in the wrong age, because it's going to be battle and struggle and fight and cost and sacrifice from here on out. I'm not going to lie to you tonight. I'm not going to candy coat it. I'm not going to pretty it up. I'm not going to cut corners. I know it's late in the evening, but it's later still in the era. We have come down toward the end. We haven't got time to fiddle around anymore. We haven't got time to play church anymore. We haven't got time to go through the motions and get caught up in the formalities. It's time to realize it's blood and it's struggle. It's loss and it's cost. And if you can't handle it, you're not going to make it. Yalla, ma kala ma Ashalamai. John Kennedy said it is only occasionally in the annals of men that a generation is called upon to bear burdens and make sacrifices in order to change their world. I believe this generation of United Pentecostals are not an accident. Our educational levels, our talent, our energy, the money in our pockets, the heritage we have received did not just happen, but God has placed a call upon my generation from which we may not escape. It will shape us. It will determine us. It will cause us to be successes or failures. But we cannot ignore the hour in which we live. When the lights were going out in Europe and the curse of Nazism was conquering all in its path, the British prepared for the coming battle that they had very little hope of winning. They chose a new prime minister, and Winston Churchill went on the radio and he said, "I promise you just something. I can't make it any nicer than what it is. I'm going to tell you tonight, I can't promise you any more than what Churchill promised his compatriots. I offer you nothing but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." They said, "Mr. Prime Minister, do you have an aim? Do you have a goal?" And he said, "I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival." I say to this generation, we have one aim. We have one goal. I can answer in one word. It is revival. Revival at all costs. Revival in spite of the terror. Revival however long and hard the road may be. For without revival, there is no survival. When asked for a plan for achieving this victory, Churchill said, "It is simple. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." Let them write what they want to write. Let Geraldo say what he wants to say. But we will never surrender. We're going to fight in our cities. We're going to fight in the suburbs. We're going to fight in the small towns, the small neighborhoods. We're going to fight in the rural areas. Wherever we find him, we will root him out. Wherever we run across him, we will slay him there. He may rise and claim his victims, but we want him to know we will never surrender. We will never turn back. How about in the bleachers? Are you with me tonight? Have you made up your mind? This is a call of a lifetime, an opportunity of an era. We're not playing church. This is saved or lost, heaven or hell. It's blood and sacrifice and fire and loss. You may never own that Mercedes. You may never live in that fine mansion. You might not complete that high-powered education and become attorney at law. I don't know. I know one thing. There is a sea tide coming in the United Pentecostal Church. I know one thing, there is a change of consciousness in the young people of our fellowship. Some things that just a few years ago were so very important and seemed to be so worthwhile have lost their luster and their glow. That somewhere, somehow, we have begun to smell the scent of death. We have begun to hear the din of battle. That somewhere we have caught a vision of a leaping, burning, literal hell in which the souls of men shall reside forever. And some are saying, some are deciding, I don't want the easy road anymore. I know I could have it. Daddy's got the dollars. Mama's got the will. I know I could have it. But something else is calling me. I'll take the hard road. I'm not preaching against education. In fact, I might as well tell you now, I ain't preaching against nothing tonight. I'm preaching for some things. Because I'm going to talk about sin, but I'm going to talk about some other things that ain't sin. But they're still choking the life out of us. I well know, I am firmly convinced, many of us here tonight are going to spend our lives in one unending exercise in just getting by. You're going to pray just enough to hang on by your fingernails. To drag from one youth revival to the next, one Sunday night to the next, one youth camp to the next, one youth congress to the next. Just enough to get by. I'm persuaded that there are many here tonight that you're going to worship just enough to hang on. I believe there are those here tonight that are going to commit just enough to keep the pastor off their back. Just enough to keep their parents unsuspecting about what's really going on. Some here tonight are going to work for God just enough to keep their name on the roll and be able to go on the youth trips and the other things that's going on. Your faithfulness to church is reflected by who you're trying to impress and what girl or boy you're trying to date. You're just in this for what you can get. You're only interested in getting by. All you want is the easy road. You just want to kind of glide into heaven. You don't want any scratches and you don't want any wounds and you don't want to shed blood and you don't want to cough in the altars until your heart is exposed to God and you lay your soul out before Him. No, you just want to get by. I told you it's my last chance. I love you kids too much not to tell you the truth. Too many are professional Pentecostals. You know the moves. You know the words. You know the form. You know the fashion. But you're not willing to pay anything for anything. You are not moved if the Mormons are outdoing us. You're not moved if Youth with a Mission puts 20,000 non-denominational kids out on the fields every year. It doesn't keep you awake at night to see what God is wanting to do. You're not stirred. You're not moved. It's what I can get. That's it. But I am persuaded there's a whole lot among us tonight. That you're tired of gliding. You're tired of setting the cruise control. One finger on the steering wheel. Laying back on the sweet leather. And just headed down the interstate. Clicking off the miles. Until we exit at Glory Avenue. But some of you want to get out and walk a little while. Some of you want to get on a back road a little bit. Some of you want to go through a little town. That needs somebody. That'll stop long enough. To tell them that Jesus cares about them. thinking for yourself. You're ready to get your brain in gear as well as your heart. You're tired of Hollywood deciding what you're going to wear and how you're going to talk and how you're going to act and where you're going to go. You're tired of following every little fad that comes from the fringe. You're sick and tired of swallowing every dictate of the politically correct. You want to break out. You want to find another life. You want to get something else. And my last chance. My last chance is your youth president. I'm reaching for a different breed. I'm reaching for someone that's a little bit different in thinking. I'm looking for someone who is marching to a different drumbeat. Someone of a little different cut. Someone that's not ashamed to sit on the front row. Somebody that's not ashamed to get out in the aisle and dance and shout. Somebody that's not afraid to dress right and talk right and live right. Somebody that's settled the question and settled the issue. Somebody that's ready to take the hard road now. I'm talking about kindergartners need not apply. First graders, stay in school. If you haven't got the basics, stay home. But if you're ready to graduate, if you're ready for the tough stuff, if you're ready to climb a mountain and swim a river and make a difference, I'm looking for somebody like that. Some may need the easy road. Some may be too delicate in their constitutions, too weak in their commitment. Somebody may need to go to heaven on a pillow. But for me, give me a backpack and a pair of hiking boots. I'll take the hard road. Give me a little beef jerky and a little bit of trail mix and turn me loose and give me my mountain and let me conquer it. I'm looking for somebody that wants the hard road. I'm looking for George Whitefield. Oh Lord, give me souls or take my soul. I'm looking for Henry Martin when he knelt on India's sands, said, "Here, let me burn out for God." I'm looking for David Brainerd. Lord, to thee I dedicate myself. Accept of me thine forever, Lord. I desire nothing else. I desire nothing more. I'm looking to go back to our ancestors. I'm looking to go back to what made this country great. 102 courageous pilgrims on the Mayflower. December 21, 1620, she dropped anchor in Plymouth Bay. Captain Christopher Jones at the helm. A grueling voyage, taking them 66 days. Disease, fear, terror, childbirth. Furthermore, they arrived in the dead of winter, and half of them would die. But next spring, when Captain Jones said, "I'm going back to England, who wants to go?" The 51 said, "Not me. I don't want to go back. I came here to conquer a new world. Give me the hard road." I will cross any river. I will climb any mountain. I will pay any price. I will bear any burden. I will go anywhere. I will pass out tracts to anybody. I will witness to whosoever will hear. I will do it. Give me the hard road. I take this to mean that I have found in this service, probably after 10 o'clock, Friday night youth congress. You've shouted till your tongue's hanging out. We've been in service tonight, some of you, since 6:30. And here we are. It's after 10 o'clock. And you're on your feet with your hands in the air. I think I found somebody that says, I'm not a milquetoast. I'm not yellow back, lily livered. Give me the hard road. Let me have the tough assignments. Send me where there's blood and there's fear and there's dying going on. Kids, I pastors right over here and I love them so much, but I want to tell them tonight, it's going to take somebody willing to travel the hard road if we're going to have revival in New Life like we want revival. We're not going to be able to do it sitting back on padded pews and pat a cake in for Jesus. We're not going to be able to do it satisfied with a little namby-pamby service. We're not going to do it if we can't wait to get to Burger King or Pizza Hut or McDonald's. If we don't tarry in the altar. If we're not in the prayer rooms. If we're not first on our feet. If we're not with the preacher. If we're not in this thing with all of our heart. We'll never get there. It'll never happen. Britain survived. Hitler never set foot on British soil. And I tell you why. They took the blood. They took the toil. They took the tears. They took the sweat. And they fought. And they fought. And they fought. And they fought. And the buzz bombs fell on their cities. And they cleaned up the rubble. And they buried the dead. And they put their helmets on. And they lived another night. And they won. And they won. Because they were willing. You don't mean it, sit down. If you looking for an easy route, sit down. It's too late for that. We're not going to make it our mama's experience. We're not going to go on daddy's Holy Ghost. It's too late for that garbage. You ain't going because you sit on Pentecostal pews, feel Pentecostal power, hear Pentecostal preaching. You're only going to go if you're willing. I said if you're willing. If I could reach you, if I could reach you, we could change the world with what stands in this place tonight. Think of it. With those of us that are here, we could turn the world upside down. If we could forget ourselves, our plans, our goals, our dreams. If we could focus ourselves on a cause that's greater than a big car and a fine home and a good job and a pretty wife or a handsome husband. If we could somehow look at things in a different light. Told you I ain't preaching against anything, but I'm preaching for something. That somebody will rise above the masses of humanity that are satisfied to march in lockstep. Dictated to by Madison Avenue. Dictated to by Paris and Hollywood. But they're willing to step out and say, let them go that way. Let them choose that road. I'm going to climb this mountain. I'll take this harder path. It may take longer, and it may cost something. I thank God for every healing. I thank God for every deliverance. I thank God for every prayer that's answered. I thank God for every miracle I've ever seen. But what about when there are no miracles? What about when healing does not come? What about when our prayers seem to be unanswered? What about when it's us that are in the others? What about when it's us sawn asunder, tempted, slain, wandered in sheepskins? What about when it's us destitute, afflicted, tormented, trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonment? What about when it's us Are we going to be able to say, when the delivering angel shows up, go help them. They need it more than I do. I'll stay here in the dungeon a little longer. I'll stay here on the hard road a little longer. Not accepting deliverance. Tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to get a new understanding about what truth is and what truth is for. The Philistines invaded Israel. Saul was king, and he took his army to the backside of Gibeah. Now we castigate him, criticize him, but I want you to think for a minute why he did what he did. He had 600 men, but he had some real problems. The Philistine army was substantially, it seems, larger than the Israelite army. Secondly, some Israelites refused to fight with Saul. They went into the mountains and they hid in the caves and in the woods. And they refused to take their place on the battlefield. There were other Israelites who not only refused to fight, but backslid and joined the Philistines. And Saul had another problem. There wasn't but two swords in his whole army. He had 600 men. But he only had two swords. Saul had a sword. He was the king. Makes sense. Jonathan had a sword. He was a prince. That makes sense. But when you ain't got but two swords, it becomes vitally important what you do with those swords. Saul had a peculiar idea about what swords were for. The Bible says that he went and sat under a juniper tree. Took his 600 men and they admired his sword. Look at that sword. It's a fine sword. Look how shiny that sword is. Would you look at that sword? That's got a sharp edge on it. Man, and look at the jewels, the precious stones, the inlaid gold. Look at the filigree, the beautiful work. Why, that's quite a sword. And he sat under the pomegranate tree, and all of his soldiers came by, and they all got excited. What a wonderful sword we have in Israel. Look, there's the oneness of God. Let's shout, we got the oneness of God. Look on there. I see Jesus' name baptism. Why, we ought to have a Holy Ghost spell. We got the name of Jesus in baptism. I see repentance, the grace and the mercy of God. Look at that sword. Man, that is some kind of sword. United Pentecostal Church, look what we got. I see Holy Ghost tongue talking. I see healing. I see holiness. In the handle of this sword. We're at Youth Congress in our thousands. And we preach to one another. And we run the aisles and we shout. And we admire the sword that God has placed in our hand. And the Philistines overrun our villages and our towns and our cities. And Saul sits under the pomegranate tree and admires his sword. But Jonathan had this weird idea about swords. He thought swords were made to fight battles with. He didn't didn't know you're just supposed to admire them on Sunday night. He didn't know you're supposed to live a little clustered life with just your buddies and friends and pat each other on the back and talk about how good we are and how powerful we are. I ain't preaching against anything, but I'm preaching for taking the sword off of the wall, taking the sword out from under the pomegranate tree and marching to the battlefield. Don't you worry about this gospel. You will not tarnish it. You will not scratch it. You will not demolish it. You cannot hurt it. You take it in the red light district, you can't hurt it. You take it in the mall, you can't hurt it. You take it to school, you can't hurt it. You take it on the job, you can't hurt it. This sword was made to fight battles, to slay the enemy. Who can stand against this sword? I ain't preaching against nothing. But he was told by those happy to sit under the pomegranate tree, you stay here. We don't want nobody out there. You stay right here. You kind of make me uncomfortable, Jonathan, when you start talking about fighting. Because fighting means blood and loss and death. And I'd rather sit here and be satisfied with my youth group and fuss about who's going with who and who said what about who, and I'd rather be happy to sit back here and gripe because we ain't got a gym and we're not too happy with the youth pastor and all that kind of junk. Sit here with us, Jonathan. But Jonathan nudged his armor bearer, said, I ain't happy to sit here. I'm not going to judge them, and I'm not going to find fault with the pomegranate tree sitters. But let's me and you go find an enemy. Let's me and you go down to the battlefield. Come on, armor bearer. Let's me and you go. I know you ain't got a sword, but look at my sword. I'm not going to sit under the pomegranate tree and fuss about the latest issue and worry about who ain't doing what. I'm going to get my sword and find me a battlefield and do something for God. Because I believe swords were made to fight! We don't fight people, but we fight spirits. I'm not here preaching about people. I feel sorry for folks locked in the dark world of alcoholism, dope addiction, homosexuality, immorality. I feel sorry for those addicted to pornography, to the filth of the cesspools of this world. I'm not preaching about them, but I'm telling you, we can so love them that we'll strike a truce with the spirit that holds them down. I'm ready to take my sword and lop off a few spirit heads. I'm ready to march out where the devil hides and drag him out by his webbed toes and hack his head off his shoulders. If there ain't but two swords in my army, my God, I hope both of them ain't under the pomegranate tree. I hope somebody will take at least one of those swords and find the enemy. Come on, armor bearer. To be about 20 of them up that cliff right there. See that cliff? The Bible says it's a pinnacle. It's a sharp cliff. It's straight up. See that? About 20 of them up there. Now you ain't got a sword. I got a sword. And I figure
Me having a sword, you carrying my armor, two of us, 20 of them filthy devils, that's about even.
Hallelujah! Yes!
In fact, the way I figure it, they're at a decided disadvantage. They got me a sword. Now what we're going to do, it would make good sense for us to yell up at those fellas and say, we're down here. You really want to fight? Come and get us. Now that makes sense. Two of us, 20 of them, they ought to do the traveling. But that's the easy way. That's the easy way. So what we're going to do is we're going to let them know we're here. We're going to call them some kind of name or something. And we're going to get them mad. And then we're going to tell them, here we are. And if they say, wait there, we ain't going to fight. Because God don't never take the easy road. But if they invite us to climb this cliff to get to the battle, we're going after them. Because I'm going to take the hard way. I want the hard road. I want to climb a cliff to slay a few devils. So they step back. You're ugly. Your mama dresses you funny. It's amazing how much better you feel when you get a sword in your hand. Oh, said the Philistines. Some of the Hebrews come out of their holes. Some of the Pentecostals got out of the meetings long enough. Some of the Pentecostals come out of their ivory tower long enough. Some of the Pentecostals got through with Sunday night service long enough. Some of the Pentecostals caught a vision, got their noses out of the air. Some of the Pentecostals got to looking around. Hey, there's a couple of them right down there. Come on up. The Philistine said, and we'll show you a thing or two. Jonathan nudged his armor bearer. That's our cue, buddy. That's the hard road. And the Bible says they climbed with hands and with feet. It was not a switchback path. It was a rock climb. They climbed a cliff to find 20 enemy. They climbed a cliff to be outnumbered 5-1. 10-1. My math ain't good, but my doctrine's right. And they got to the top of the hill. 20 of them. Come on, armor bearer. 20 of them. But I got a sword. Don't you worry. You got a shield. I'll hack them and you bash them. And we'll get rid of these fellas right quick. And the Bible says they waded into the enemy. And in just a little while, in about the space of a half acre, they killed 20 men. Because they was willing to go the hard way, to choose the hard road. I'm not going to sit under no pomegranate tree. I'm not going to be satisfied. Just sit and wait. I say we have waited long enough. We've built our little fortresses and got inside and locked the doors long enough. We have feared the devil's attack long enough. I say it's time to go after him. Get your sword and get into that school and get after that devil and jerk some of those kids out of the burning and bring them to God. Get on that job and use that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and destroy. I know we got some bad press lately. I know they've been saying some ugly things about us lately. They've been calling us cults. Yeah, they have. They've been saying we're kind of crazy. They've been saying we don't treat folks right. They've been saying a lot of garbage about us. I ain't losing no sleep over it. Geraldo who? I ain't worried about it. Because it ain't going to always be like that. We got a sword. We got power. I said we got power. I was preaching camp meeting in Tennessee 3-4 weeks ago. And I got interviewed. I got on the front page of the Jackson, Tennessee Sun. Good picture. I didn't look stupid or nothing. I was standing up there preaching. I looked pretty good, I thought. Took a picture of a young black boy worshiping God. He wasn't ugly, fat, and stringy hair. He looked like he had good sense. It was a good picture by what we've been getting lately. Headline says, Pentecostals bring fervent spirit of revival to Jackson. Nothing negative. Nothing wrong. Made us sound like good people with good sense that love God. I tell you why. The reporter came to church. She wanted to ask me some questions after service. I said, certainly. She asked me some general questions about this and that and the other thing. And finally, she looked at me and she said, she had a funny look on her face. She said, I've got one more question, Reverend. I thought, uh-oh. I thought, here it comes. Here comes the cult thing, you know. Here comes the negative thing. Here comes all this other. And she looked at me. She said, tell me, Reverend, what is this I feel when I come into your church service? She said, what makes me feel like everybody ought to have what you people have? I said, it is the power of God. It is the Spirit of God. Get your sword. Philistines defeated. Bible says a great trembling came in the Philistine horde. They began to slay one another. And the Bible says they melted away. Get the fire hot enough and you can melt any devil right out of your life. But some incredible things happened. The Bible says that when the Philistines began to fight one another, and Saul and his armor bearer was running after them, waving a sword and a shield, yelling like a couple of crazy banshees. And here went the Philistines running and killing each other. And Jonathan after them, saying, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And they were running the Philistines as fast as they could run. Sit down. And Saul sits under his pomegranate tree. He says, I hear something. And he jumps up. And he looks around. And he sees the Philistines running. And he sees somebody chasing them. He catches the glint of another sword. And the Bible says he gathered his armies. And they ran and came to the battle. Don't criticize the kids in your youth group that aren't on fire for God. You get the enemy on the run and they'll join you. Don't criticize when people are afraid of a move of God. Have one anyway, and they'll get their sword, and they'll join you. You can set your church on fire this weekend. You can set your YouTube on fire this weekend. If you get out from under the pomegranate tree and climb a mountain and slay some enemy, and they'll join you. Where they once only had one sword, now they have two swords. And that ain't all. Those who had separated themselves, those who had refused to fight, those who had hidden in the caves and the forest of the mountain, the Bible says they looked and they saw the Philistines fleeing, and they ran into the battle. There's some cold kids on the fringe that ain't never consecrated and separated themselves. Quit talking about them and get a battle going. Quit talking about them and win a victory. They'll come. You preachers are reading something else into this. I mean that too. And the Bible says that those who had backslidden and joined the Philistines, here comes Jonathan yelling his head off and his armor bearer waving a shield, ran right up to him. They said, wait a minute, we're on your side. The Bible says they turned to be with the Israelites. And they started slaying Philistines. I was with you all the time. I was on your side all the time. I never meant it. I'm with you. Let's get them. Let's trick them. I ain't going to talk about them. I ain't going to run them down. I'm going to have revival. I'm going to have a move of God. And if they'll pray back through and turn, they can...